This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Hello, my Yankee Doodle dandies out there across the fruited plains. It's time for the 4th of July weekend edition of the Matt Rooney Show here on 1210 WPHT. Welcome back. Pleasure to have you with us. Pleasure to be with you. You know I mean it when I say it. You can always listen to the Matt Rooney Show via the Odyssey app or the old-fashioned way on Saturday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or you can go to wherever good podcasts are found, and you can subscribe. I don't know what we get for subscriptions, but Stocker tells me it's something good, so try to do that if you are so inclined. And join tonight on the Matt Rooney Show is one of my faves, producer Andrew Torres. Andrew, how you doing, my friend?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Happy 4th of July weekend. And, hope everybody's feeling patriotic and American. So, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I'm wearing red, white, and blue. You can't see from all the way over here. Yeah. you can't see. But my heart is star-spangled this weekend as America begins its 250th year of existence. This is our 249th birthday, folks. Next year's the big 250. It's going to be a heck of a year. It already is a heck of a year, but we're beginning the 250th year. That's how math works for those of you that learned it from the teachers' unions. And what a start to our 250th year. This week has been positively bananas, as the kids used to say. Let's just run this down for a second, Andrew, if you and everyone in the audience will indulge me. Let's look at Donald Trump's first 4.5 months in office. He's resolved 4 wars. We just got the June jobs report. 147 new jobs, smashing expectations. That means that the unemployment rate has now dipped further. We have the lowest gas prices per the national average in 4 years. We also have record low illegal alien border crossings and apprehensions, according to the latest statistics from June 2025. We're not releasing any illegals into the country. Remember, we used to talk about catch and release all the time on programs like this one? It's not a thing with President Trump at the helm. We've effectively closed the border to illegal aliens. And this is a nice little added bonus. President Trump signing the big, beautiful bill passed on Thursday after a marathon attempt by Democrats to hold it up, signing into law on the 4th of July. It just doesn't get any better than this. We're back, folks. We're back and bigger than ever. It's not a foregone conclusion, and even the founding fathers who gathered in a sweaty brick building in central Philadelphia almost 250 years ago, even they knew this at the time, that countries like ours, republics, were not automatically guaranteed longevity. In fact, if you look at history, especially up until that point, most of the time that experiment had failed, and failed in spectacular fashion. What makes this country different so far, as we approach the official quarter of a millennium mark, is this continuing ability that we have, this enduring attribute for self-renewal. Our ability to, for lack of a more articulate way to put it, screw up and make bad choices, and then recover and make better ones. And it's baked into the fabric of our national DNA. Case in point, we screwed up something awful by electing Joe Biden and Kamala Harris a little over 4 years ago. We have now corrected that, and we are back bigger and more beautiful and better than ever. But that hasn't stopped Joe Biden, Andrew, your buddy, Sleepy Joe, from complaining about what's happening right now in X. I mean, the Dems are having a really rough 4th of July. Let's be honest about it. Because America's succeeding not only runs counter to their worldview because they think that America is an evil, awful, racist, terrible place. So America succeeding can't be good for the cause of mankind. But also, with Republicans in power, it doesn't help their electoral prospects, does it, if the country is succeeding? So they're a little salty right now, Andrew.
Yeah, and it's hilarious to think about. The statistics cut through all of the banter. They cut through all of the mumbo-jumbo and all of these speeches by House members and senators who keep trying to drag things out and make it sound like 10,000 people are going to die per year or per day or whatever it is that somebody was saying, talking about breaking records in the House speech or whatever that was. I don't even know. But the statistics cut through all of that. And when you talk about unemployment being down, the lowest it's been since before a certain elderly gentleman got in office, and you're talking about the number of illegal border crossings being down, and inflation being down, and gas prices going down, and things are becoming affordable again, and all of those things, it speaks for itself. And, you know, the Democrats can talk as much as they want, and the left and the liberals and all of those people can talk as much as they want. The statistics speak for themselves, and I think the American people are starting to see that. And, you know, the people who really had faith and the people who voted for Donald Trump, they got exactly what they wanted. And they got, probably one of the best birthday gifts for America that we've seen in a very long time.
Well, that's right. We've had a lot of really crappy birthdays. Let's be honest, right? Everybody listening to this has had bad birthdays. Your friend gets drunk and throws up all over the Uber. I was about to say cab, and I was going to date myself, right? Your friend throws up all over the Uber, the Lyft. Some couple that's out for you for your birthday gets in a fight. Maybe a family member's causing drama at the backyard barbecue. We've had plenty of that as a country. Not this year. Not with the indispensable man Donald Trump at the helm. So Joe Biden, I don't even know whether or not this is a lucid moment at this point, or if it's some staffer that's running his account. He tweeted over on X on July 3rd, after the Big Beautiful Bill had passed, "The Republican budget is not only reckless, it's cruel. It slashes Medicaid and takes away health care from millions of Americans," which just isn't true. "It closes rural hospitals and cuts food assistance for our veterans and our seniors." Again, just not true. "It jacks up our energy bills." That is nonsense. If your energy bills are going up, it's probably because you live in a state like mine, New Jersey, where Democrats were hoping to power the grid using solar and wind and unicorn farts and other imaginary technologies that don't work. And now that the proverbial poop is hitting the fan, they don't have a solution. That's why your energy bills are rising. This is all just sour milk from Sleepy Joe. And he ends his little tirade on X by talking about how the Big Beautiful Bill is allegedly going to benefit billionaires by giving them tax breaks. This argument always ticks me off, Andrew, because, you know, setting aside everything else, wealthy people pay most of the taxes. So if you're going to cut taxes, there's no way really to quote unquote give money to the bottom of the pyramid unless you're redistributing money from someone else. And usually those are wealthier people. But the billionaire thing, folks, just in case you need to remember, okay, because I know that a lot has transpired over the past few months. You can't be blamed for not having your host's memory. Approximately 83 billionaires supported Kamala Harris. 52 backed Donald Trump. So the party of the mega rich, of the limousine white liberal, is now the Democrat Party. The idea that Republicans passed the Big Beautiful Bill to benefit the rich is utter and complete nonsense. This is a Main Street-oriented piece of legislation, which is going to help families, emphasis on families, parents who are working hard. They're earning more than they've ever earned before in some ways, but because of the persistent effects of inflation during the Biden era, they feel as if their money is not going as far as it should. This legislation is going to help them out with tax cuts, by making the child care tax credits permanent. There's a whole heck of a lot to love about what Donald Trump and the Republicans in Congress that were brave enough to stand with him just accomplished for the American people. Not among them, is Brian Fitzpatrick from our own neck of the woods, which was deeply disappointing, Andrew. I can't say I'm shocked, because Brian Fitzpatrick, they call him a moderate. I think there's a different word that I prefer to use, coward, right? Someone who doesn't have the courage of your conviction simply because you're in the center between two opinions doesn't somehow make your opinion more reasonable, right? I mean, if one opinion is child murder and the other is not child murder, being in the center for the sake of being in the center, saying, oh, I'm only okay with murdering children in certain occasions, right? Certain circumstances, that doesn't make you more logical, more reasonable, more sane or sober. I know I'm being hyperbolic here, folks, but I'm trying to illustrate a point, right? Just because you're moderate doesn't mean that you're doing something right. And Fitz, representing the district he does in the suburbs of Philadelphia, not leading with courage here. According to reports, he voted no last night on the bill, the rule, to advance debate on the big, beautiful bill, and then proceeded to turn off his phone and basically disappear. Can you imagine doing that? Taking a controversial vote, surprising everyone, surprising your president, surprising your colleagues in the House, and then just piecing out. I mean, you want to know why we have problems in this country? It's because this is the type of leadership we have. It isn't really leadership at all. You can't even really call it that. So, look, I don't want to dwell on the negative tonight on the Matt Rooney Show. We got a lot to cover on this episode, because there's a lot of great stuff happening out there in this most wonderful nation in God's creation. What we need to focus on is the positive and the fact that America is great again. It's in the process of being made great again. Is that because America wasn't always great? No, this has always been a fantastic country, but you're only as great as you feel, right? You've heard that expression, you're only as old as you feel, right? You're only as great as you behave. And we're remembering what makes us great. We're rediscovering what makes this country exceptional. We're being reminded by President Trump, through his leadership, of how to lead in the world and to be a beacon of freedom. It's not by being the world's piggy bank or the world's punching bag. It's by leading through example. And that's what we're doing again. And that is why we are great again. Again, you're listening to the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a quick timeout, and we'll be back with more of our program in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
We're back on the big, beautiful 4th of July weekend edition of the Matt Rooney Show. Bigger and more beautiful than ever. Not so much me. You have to work with what God gave you. I'm speaking, of course, about the president's signature legislation, which came about only 4 or 5 months into his term in office. I don't think many presidents have accomplished so much in such a short period of time. Of course, the bill does have its critics out there, but I think they're missing a few things, folks, including the incredible potential this legislation has to supercharge the American economy. Let's talk to someone who knows all about it. He is a titan of the American conservative movement. You know him as the longtime president and, of course, the founder of Americans for Tax Reform. He is the innovator of the Taxpayer Protection Pledge. No one knows federal tax policy better than Grover Norquist, and he joins us here on the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Grover, welcome back to the program. Thanks for making time with us.
Absolutely. Good to be with you. A good day with a big win for taxpayers and the country in general.
It is. And let's explain to people exactly why that is, because, you know, it's just the nature of media. You watch the news and they say they're making the quote unquote Trump tax cuts permanent. There's also some other changes. But why is this bill so great for those of us that, and for lack of a better way to put it, pay the bills in this country?
Sure. The Trump tax cut in 2017 made permanent the reduction in the corporate income tax, and that was very important. We actually collect more, the government collects more money from the corporate income tax at 21%, which it is today, than it was raising and would have raised at 35%. So we cut the rate from 35, highest in the world, stupidest in the world, okay? Higher than China, higher than France, crazy, down to 21, and we actually raised more money than we would have if we'd kept it at 35. Talk about
funny how that happened.
Yeah. Growth. Growth matters. Economic growth matters. Economic growth is the most important thing to focus on. And that was huge. But the rest of it was not made permanent. The personal income tax cut was out 10 years, but not made permanent. The faster depreciation was set out for a number of years, but not made permanent. Because of the way they handle this, they just felt, you know, they just couldn't do it and get it past the parliamentarian on the Senate, like Scylla and Charybdis. They just, it's this challenge you have to get past. So what did we do this time? This time, the Republicans, House and Senate, said, we are going to insist that we work off of present policy, not present law. Present policy means you can continue all of the Trump tax cuts without paying for them, without raising taxes to even up the tax cuts so that you don't have any benefit at all. This would have been a nothing bill if they'd worked off of present law, because in a year, all the tax cuts disappear. And then right. To continue, you know, you'd have to pay for them again. So huge decision, big win, changes the world. And so we have now, we take all the Trump tax cuts that were passed in 2017, and they're all made permanent. Now, he added some other stuff on, no tax on tips, cutting taxes on Social Security. Those were all extended out for 4 years because we didn't have the resources to make them permanent this time around. But the next 4 years, we'll figure out how to make that work. And then it also reforms Medicaid, which had been destroyed by Biden and Obama, and turned into just a welfare program. They just hand out money to everybody. You don't have to be a citizen. You don't have to be trying to work. Used to be.
That's right.
This is something you did for working people who were lower income and help them out. On healthcare stuff, they just turned it into a welfare program that was gushing cash, massive fraud at the state level, a real problem. Pulling that back in, saying you have to be a citizen, pointing out that you have to be either working or trying to work. They'd like to talk about the people, quote unquote, who may lose their benefits. These are the people who were added on by Biden and Obama without any serious discussion of it, including people who are not here legally in the country. And all of these things are very important. The bill also handles finishing the wall and securing the southern border. But most important is the pro-growth things. They do expensing so that when a business decides to make everybody in the business more productive by buying better computers, bigger trucks, more equipment, and so on. You expense that, meaning you don't depreciate it over 10, 20, 30 years, which is very expensive, but you expense it. Say you spend $1 million this year buying new equipment so your workers can be more productive. Well, then you expense that and you take that $1 million that you spent and you don't pay taxes on it because you don't have it anymore. You spent
right.
it. Right. And before that, you could, you don't have it anymore, but you only get to deduct it over 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. So it tremendously drops the cost of making workers more effective and efficient and therefore getting paid more. So all of these things will take growth over the next 10 years up to a 3% growth rate instead of about 1.5, 1.8. That alone will add to the federal budget $4 trillion in revenue, not tax increases, but lower taxes, but that would actually raise more money because more people are working, getting paid better. And those are numbers from the same people who put together the numbers that were correct in 2017. Kevin Hassett, The Economist, at which points out, and very similar to the numbers that CBO has, but they don't like to talk about, the Congressional Budget Office. So this is something where growth and new opportunities are coming about. This is going to be very good for the number of jobs and how well jobs pay. It's a huge deal. And we're not going to have to revisit it in 5 years and 10 years and pay for it again. which is what we've been doing through these years. It's like starting from scratch. What are those movies, you know, Groundhog Day and that sort of thing, starting That's all right. over again. That we don't do. This is the plateau from which all future tax reduction and spending reform will take place. It is a monumental change that will make America stronger. We're going to leave Europe in the dust. You know the story that you know got some coverage recently. If Britain became a state, it would be the 51st poorest state, poorer than Mississippi, which is 50th. And if Germany joined as a state, they'd be the 50th, and Mississippi would be poor until 3 years from now when Mississippi would be ahead of them. So we really are pulling away from Europe, but this does it even more. This is bigger.
Someone pointed out the other day that under the Big Beautiful Bill, we are now going to spend more on ICE than Italy spends on its entire military budget. It's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. And of course, you know, I mean, it says something about Europe's economic problems that they have trouble funding their own military protection. But you raise a very important point here. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Grover. Mm-hmm. In terms of righting our national ship, yes, we need to cut spending. It's important. And President Trump has said that this is only the beginning. Doge is working. And there's more coming. But we also have to grow our way out. And that's, I know during the Obama era, you talked about it a lot, plenty of others opined on it. Our American economy just stagnated. American innovation stagnated, and Joe Biden was taking us back into that gutter. We have to grow our way out. We can't simply rely on cuts in order to save us. And it is working. As I said, Doge is working. I saw that apparently fraudulent transfer payments, for instance, with Social Security, we saw a decline in May of about $111 billion. It's a fantastic start, but people earning more money, businesses paying more money, they pay more taxes. Isn't it a magical thing? Here's my question for mm-hmm. you. You've been in the conservative movement, helping lead the conservative movement for a long time, and there are a lot of very frustrated people out there because they want it all at once. Right? They want to do what you and I would do if we were dictators of the republic for a day, sit down, completely tear up the federal budget, have a limited government utopia, snap of our fingers. It just doesn't work that way. The country was wrecked over the course of 100 years of big government, not the country, the federal government. It's going to take time to work back in a positive direction. I mean, can you maybe give some aid and comfort to the conservatives out there who've been following you for decades that this does indeed put us on a good trajectory to achieve our dream of having a limited government republic again?
Oh, well, first of all, the alternative doesn't work. They said, oh, Reagan, we're worried about the deficit, 1982. Why don't you raise taxes, agree to raise taxes $1, and we'll cut spending $3. And they had a Republican Senate at the time. So it wasn't just the Democrats messing with him. And Reagan was backed up against the wall. He needed his defense spending. He was going into the election. So he said, okay, what happened? Taxes were real. Spending went up faster after that than before. So this idea that you can raise taxes and reduce the deficit, the Democrats have played us on this several times. That was, they took Reagan on 3-1. Then 1990, 8 years later, they went to Bush, who was then the president, and said, you're a cheaper date. We're going to give you two imaginary dollars of spending cuts for every dollar of tax increase, and pay no attention to the fact that we completely lied to Reagan, cheated, and did the exact opposite, even with a Republican Senate, okay? So, and Bush said, that sounds good to me, and he did it, and of course, the taxes were real, the spending went up. When they tried to do that with Obama, they came in and Obama said, we said to Obama, we want, if you want the debt ceiling raised, we insist on $2 trillion of spending cuts over a decade. And he said, oh, you mean $2 trillion of deficit reduction? No, $2 trillion of spending cuts, no tax increases, none. And they couldn't believe that they were holding. Now, mind you, 96% of the Republicans had all signed the pledge. We're never going to do this, okay? Got right. it? We're never going to raise taxes. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. Last end of the day, we did fix it. But what the final bid from Obama Kerry came and talked to me, Senator Kerry of Massachusetts. He said, Grover, here's, oh, we're so close. I need your help talking to the Republicans. We've got $1 trillion that we've given up in spending that we were going to spend. So we need $1.2 trillion in tax increases. A what? Yeah, why? I thought it was just $1 trillion that you needed, you know. So they had no plans to have any spending restraint at all. Matter of fact, they wanted $400 billion more in spending on their deficit reduction plan. And the Republicans held. And we said no. Take, you know, no to spending, no to tax increases forced the spending restraint. And that was very useful. So now what we've got is there were some people who go, well, we want to focus on the deficit. Well, that's a really bad thing to do because the deficit isn't what matters. What damages the economy is total spending. So if the government takes 90 and borrows 10, it is not helpful to go, here's our solution. We're going to take all 10 in taxes. We won't borrow anything. We're not going to take 9 in taxes and borrow 10. We're going to take all 100 in taxes. And that frees up capital how? You just took 100. Before you took 90 and borrowed 10, so it was gone. But this doesn't make any progress. And it's very frustrating when people focus on the difference between two important numbers, how much the government takes in taxes and how they do it. Some taxes are more destructive than others to growth. That's an important number. How much the government spends is the important number. The difference between the two is not a particularly interesting number. It just isn't. And what we need to do is grow, which means you cut taxes to get more revenue in from stronger growth, and hold the line on spending. Just keep spending from going crazy. You don't have to cut it in half. You don't have to, get rid of the army or something. You just let it grow slower than the deficit. End of World War II, we had a deficit, a debt bigger than the GDP, than the economy. When Reagan came in, it was down to 20% of GDP. Did we do that by slashing spending? No, we didn't. We did it by growing. We did it by growing. Exactly. We had the Kennedy tax cuts, which were so powerful in growing the economy. It's very similar to the Reagan tax cuts. Even Democrats can do this if they work at it.
You don't have to be an Ivy League educated economist to understand this stuff. Actually, getting an Ivy League degree will probably make it harder for you to understand things.
This is true.
In the real world. You just have to know a little bit of history, right? Which is what you just gave us. And that's why I asked you that question, because I think it's so important for some in our audience to hear. Manufacturing jobs, I know you wrote an op-ed for Fox News on the Big Beautiful Bill. We've heard a lot of discussion about how the BBB could help bring manufacturing jobs home. I think some people that aren't too fluent in this stuff, they roll their eyes and they say, well, everybody's been promising to bring factories back for decades now, and it never seems to happen. Why is what President Trump's trying to do different?
Well, it does a number of things. And I wouldn't focus on manufacturing. I would focus on jobs and wealth creation, because we actually have – we do a lot more manufacturing today than we used to. It's just we do it with fewer people. Okay.
Right. And it's automated.
Yeah. And we produce more agriculture goods today with between 1% and 2% of the population farming than when we had 90% of the population farming. And so we shouldn't be wedded to any particular structure. We must stay on the farm. No, we don't have to stay on the farm. And we don't, not everything has to be manufacturing here. It doesn't look like manufacturing when you're using computers. That said, what do we want? We want jobs. We want income. We want wealth for the American people. And there are many different ways to make that. But what people visually see is when companies got bought during the Obama years, a couple of thousand of them, by foreign countries. Why? Because it was literally worth more to have I think it was Burger King was bought by the Canadians. Because of our stupid tax laws, the same burgers, the same company, the same customers, the same workers, that company was worth less, owned by an American, but as an American company, than a European or Canadian company. And what we do with the Trump tax cuts, We changed that rule so that if you earn money and you make it overseas, the rule before Trump was if you earn company earn money in Japan. If it wanted to bring it back, it had to pay U.S. taxes. If you left it in Japan, you didn't. What people do? They left a lot of money overseas. After a while, they go, what do we do with all this money? Let's build factories here. since they won't let us do anything else. I mean, how dumb is that? We were literally the only country in the world, maybe North Korea, that did that. Trump came in and said, this is too stupid for words. And we got it fixed with the Republican House, Senate, and Trump. And there have been no inversions. I mean, maybe some small thing, but no inversion that you'd notice, no big company inverted. It stopped. Completely. What has also happened? Trillions flowed back into the United States. Because when you cut the corporate income tax, people say, I want to invest with you guys. I don't want to invest with some with these other people. I want to invest with you. We need to compete as Americans with the lowest taxes, the lowest regulatory burden, not the lowest wages. Let China have low wages. Let the Europeans have low wages. I want to compete with low cost of energy, which Trump has been leading on, low cost of regulations, which we have so much more to do, and Trump is really in the right direction on that, and low taxes. Those are all costs, whether it's manufacturing or agriculture or services. You drive up the cost of things when you have too much government, too much regulation, too much high energy costs driven up by, you know, Green New Deal nonsense. And all of that stuff, we can do better and outcompete the world. Again, we are leaving Europe in the dust. And this bill will make that even clearer. And we'll leave Russia in the dust. We'll leave Europe in the, I mean, we can go visit and check out the cathedrals that nobody over there goes to and look at them. But right. we don't have to put up with chatting with them or anything. And the way to deal with China is to become so much more successful. I mean, they forgot to have children, right? So China is going to have the same population as us at the end of the century. And they don't have per capita income anywhere close to what we have. They look big because there are 4 to 5 times more people over there, but that's declining because again, they one forgot to have children, two choose not to have children. And when they decided to have children, they decided to have boys, not girls. And despite what some people in this country think, only girls can have children.
Certain biological limitations, whether they like it or not. And look, you're not wrong. The last time I was in Europe, I walked around Venice, went from church to church, and on Sunday, completely empty. I think there's a livelier crowd tonight, Grover, at Alligator Alcatraz down in Florida, if I was a betting man. And I don't know, some might find it more appealing in the current environment. We're talking to Grover Norquist, everyone, one of the legends of the conservative movement of Americans for Tax Reform. Let me ask you one more question, Grover, sure, before we spring you loose, because it's been a busy week for you. We keep hearing Republicans, I think they have the right attitude about this, repeating the mantra that this is just a start. This is just the beginning of a golden age. There's a lot more to do. The big, beautiful bill is just kicking off this revolution of thinking in American government. Mm-hmm. Where should the Republican Party on Capitol Hill and over at the White House go next in terms of making our U.S. regulatory structure more pro-business, less interest to the taxpayer to continue to encourage growth?
Well, we have to get rid of NEPA, which was invented, which is the environmental thing that says you have to spend years filling out forms to make sure that the alligators, if they wanted to walk across this highway, would be comfortable doing so in Alaska. Remember Elon Musk was told that when his satellites fell back into the ground, back into the ocean, they wanted to know if we were going to hurt any sharks. they had to do a study. And this sort of nonsense, we need to speed that up. Built the Empire State Building faster than you can get a permit in New York to build a building these days. Never mind, build the thing. So Permitting is huge. And even some Democrats have written books about, you know, we really ought to knock off this stupid permitting thing. That's not a majority position on the congressional side. But there have been some interesting Democrats going, guys, we're committing suicide as a party if we're not in favor of growth. And the Democrats right now are in favor of redistributing other people's income, but not growing income for everybody. And that's a heck of a way to organize life. Everybody becomes, you know, fights each other out because nobody is moving forward and everybody's envious of everybody else. So I think that the energy efforts, that there's more drilling for energy. We need to stop those lawsuits that are used to stop pipelines so we can get energy to people around the country. These are all things that the president's stated that he was going to do when he got elected. He's working on those. And I mean, he's only been president for half a year, and he's already turned things around in a way that's just driving the left nuts. They didn't get organized to fight this tax bill till about 2 weeks ago, where they go, oh my goodness, we've been trying to save Greenland from Trump's machinations. And you know, it's
shock and awe. They don't know what hit them. And look, I mean, I will say this as a New Jersey Republican, I'm not used to a politician doing what they promised they were going to do when they were running. Usually when they do fulfill their promises, like Phil Murphy in my state said that he was going to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast.
Did he's come say dangerously that out loud? Close.
That is an actual quote from 2017.
That's too funny. I thought that was a quiet thing that you weren't supposed to say out loud.
No, it didn't age well, as you might have guessed, which is one of the reasons why it's a competitive state these days. But yeah, that those are the challenges we're facing, folks. But we're making progress, and it's in no small part due to the fact that Grover Norquist and a lot of really good, passionate, articulate conservatives over time have laid the groundwork for the success that we're achieving today. So I want to thank you for joining us on this episode, Mr. Norquist, but also thank you for everything you've done and you continue to do. And remember, folks, if you're a fan of what you heard tonight, and I'm sure you are, it's ATR.org. And what's your handle on X?
GNorquist@ATR.org.
That's where you go, folks. Grover Norquist, everyone. We appreciate you joining us on the Matt Rooney Show. Don't be a stranger.
You got it. Thank you.
You're listening to the Matt Rooney Show, folks. The one and only, except no substitutes. We're going to take a quick break to play some ads and make some money because we are capitalists around here. And we'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Well, you know, our good buddy Grover Norquist said it better than anyone, folks. There's a lot to be happy about with the big, beautiful bill having made it to Donald Trump's desk. Not everyone, though, is pleased because they don't have America's best interests at heart. Among them, Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the Democrats in the House of Representatives. Though I wonder, Andrew, for how much longer, because let me put it to you this way. The guy needs to take some acting lessons from Cory Booker, Spartacus, my state senior senator, because if you're going to be a liar and a weasel, you at least have to be theatrical and entertaining,
yeah.
Right? You either need the truth and be able to articulate it in a compelling way to be a leader, or you have to be a really, really good, which is really good liar, which is another way of saying actor. And Hakeem just didn't really make it happen during a marathon floor speech in the run-up to the passage of the big, beautiful bill on Thursday. It was long. It was boring. It was the opposite of the Matt Rooney Show. I particularly enjoyed watching some coverage of it on Fox News, on C-SPAN, and you could see at least one member of Congress fighting sleep behind him as their fearless leader went on and on and on. And then there was that weird photo of him holding a bat that was shared on social media, which I guess that's a threat, right? I mean, I think if it was a Republican that had done that, You know, Liz Cheney would be convening a kangaroo court to investigate them, even though she's not in Congress anymore. It was sad, and even ran into some spelling difficulties. Andrew, listen to this, folks. Cut one, in case you love yourself enough that you didn't subject yourself to this torture the first time around when it was live.
And I'm flummoxed. Maybe it's flummoxed. As I mentioned, Mr. Speaker, I always wanted to use that word. I can't spell it, but I know what it means. I'm confused by many of these statements. So,
yeah, the guy that says flummoxed wants to be the Speaker of the House, right? The third most powerful man in the federal government. God help us. And when he wasn't making a fool of himself, he also descended into hyperbole. And again, if you have Cory Booker's Oscar-winning skills, you can at least make it entertaining, but Hakeem is no Spartacus. So when he accused Donald Trump of trying to kill thousands of people with the Big Beautiful Bill, it didn't quite land in my estimation. But you listen to cut number two and you tell me.
Assault on health care in the United States of America, people will die. Tens of thousands, perhaps year after year after year, as a result of the Republican assault on the health care of the American people. I'm sad. I never thought that I'd be on the House floor saying that this is a crime scene and House Democrats want no part of it.
Yeah, it's just not even true, right? I mean, Joe Biden is the one who sabotaged Medicare, specifically Medicare Advantage, during his time in office. They made changes to the funding. It resulted in higher deductibles, higher premiums, and as Grover explained to our audience on this program, they've turned what used to be safety net programs into welfare handout programs. How well is that working for the American people? The last time anyone in government in this country was actually responsible for killing thousands of people, it was during COVID. Governors like Phil Murphy that allowed tens of thousands nationally, about 10,000 in New Jersey, to die needlessly in group care homes during COVID when it could have been easily avoided. So I've had enough of this guy. He deserves all the ridicule he's getting. I suspect he's going to get more. My favorite ridicule, Andrew, that's been lobbed in his direction. Whoever made this meme deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I will nominate them myself. This is making the rounds online. Did you see this before I sent you the cut, Andrew?
No, but I'm going to look it up right now.
It's priceless. This is cut number three. This is part of Hakeem Jeffries' rant on the floor on Thursday, overlaid against Donald Trump playing the recorder. Enjoy.
Effectively, in Medicaid as we know it, gut parts of the Affordable Care Act. What you essentially are doing by stripping health care away from the American.
Do you recognize that tune? That little ditty, Andrew?
The Titanic.
That's right. That's right. Most of my producers on this show are too young. They have no idea what the hell that song is. But you are old enough to remember that Celine Dion classic. Yeah. That when I was...
Thank you for pointing out my age, Matt. I appreciate it very much.
Well, if I have to suffer, you have to suffer along with me.
That is true.
That's the way that it works when you're here, right?
Yeah. No, I understand.
But I remember that song was the song when I was in junior high. So every Catholic school dance that I went to, they played it twice, and whatever girl you were dancing with was yammering in your ear the Celine Dion song, and not as well as Celine did, of course. So, yeah, not a good week for Democrats, not a good week for House Democrats in particular. Some of you have pointed out in those Jeffries clips, you know, they illustrated, if you weren't already aware, the lack of substance to the Democrats' critiques of the Big Beautiful Bill. That's not entirely unusual. The leftist movement is an emotive movement, right? We're talking about people that are still masking up in the supermarket years after a pandemic. They think they're 57 genders, right? I mean, these are not exactly logical, facts-based people, right? I mean, that's who we're talking about here, right? So I don't know really what you want out of them. But the real story here is they have to rely on, you know, empty appeals to your passions, because there's nothing to not like about the Big Beautiful Bill. It moves the ball down the field if your goal is to return power to the people and stimulate growth for the United States of America. Not just growth, to pour more money in the coffers of the federal government, but to help the people of this nation compete for their families, compete for their communities, compete globally, either individually or if they own a business. And as we grow, we will be stronger, we will be more independent, and that in turn will result in an increasingly safe and stable world. When America is strong, the world is better off. When it's not, well, again, like I was talking about with Grover, you know, you don't have to be an economist. You don't have to be an expert in public policy. Just go read a history book. So one of many things that you should spend a little bit of time meditating on and celebrating this 4th of July weekend, a strong America, the America we're celebrating its birthday this weekend, a strong America means a great world, a safer world, a more prosperous world. All the lefties that fancy themselves citizens of the world but want a weak America, it's an exercise in gross contradiction. They are indeed as silly as they sound. But you know what doesn't sound silly? The Matt Rooney Show, folks. We have it all here on 1210 WPHT every Saturday night, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. And of course, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. You know where to find it. Go to Spotify, go to iTunes, go to all the places on all the things, as the Gen Zers would say. Our numero uno, done. But our trace of trace for our bilingual listeners will be starting off here in just a moment. So fill that cup of coffee, stand up, stretch your legs, and be right back here for more of our program in a sec.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
A very happy Independence Day weekend, faithful listeners of the Matt Rooney Show. Welcome to our little program. Thank you once again for making time for us, whether you're listening on Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or if you're enjoying the Matt Rooney Show podcast, which continues to grow by leaps and bounds. Honored to be with you as we celebrate our great nation's birthday, 249. Has anyone ever looked so good at 249? I would say we're aging quite well, warts and all. And we now begin the 250th year of our great nation's existence. What would Washington, Adams, Jefferson say? Hamilton, the real one, not the guy singing on the stage, the liberal. What would they say if they could see us today? Something to contemplate this weekend in between your, I don't know what you do. I mean, if you're Andrew, I guess it's burgers, hot dogs, shots of Fireball, jumping in the pool in an American flag bathing suit. Little all of the above.
You little do bit. You, folks. My kids have the flag bathing, the swimwear and stuff like that. I just have a neon yellow glow in the dark swim attire. So that's, I keep it simple.
Neon, but neon
everything
yellow.
Else is accurate. The hot dogs, hamburgers, grilled chicken, all that good stuff.
You go jogging at night in your bathing suit when you're done? Why does it need to be neon green?
That's the color. That's what my wife picked it out. She liked the color, and you know, it's a few years old, and it's survived, and that's what it is. So I like it.
Look, so long as she's happy,
that's what I'm saying.
That's all that really matters. I am notorious for not spending money on myself. I will wear a bathing suit until it deteriorates to the point where it's see through. Which, sorry to paint a really disturbing image for some of you. But it's just how I am. I don't really care. The only thing I spend money on is work attire, right? Because you can't look like a slob when you're representing people and you're acting as a professional. But outside of that, right? If you catch me in the supermarket, folks, you might think that I'm an extra from Les Misérables or something like that. I just don't care.
You don't always wear your fun guy shirts? That's not a thing?
Well, you know what? I do wear a lot of fun guy shirts, but usually only when I'm going to a fun activity. I'm not going to. Okay. And by the way, Andrew's referring to the shirts that I like to wear this time of year. Some might call them Hawaiian shirts, but they're not always floral. I've got a lot of them. Some have little birds. Some have trees. I have one that's got little George Washington heads on it. That one's kind of fun. I tend to wear them this time of year. Yeah, but I usually only go to wear them when I'm going to do fun stuff. I'm not going to put one on to go to the supermarket. Now, there's anything wrong with that. It's just not part of my
It also my takes flow. Away from the fun guy. It has to be special, so you can't wear it all the time, right?
That's true.
If you wear it all the time, it's not a fun guy special shirt.
That's right. I mean, we only have Christmas one day a year for a reason. It would lose some of its allure if it was Christmas every day, even though those of you that are fans of this program could be confused for thinking that it comes once a week because that's how much you enjoy our time together. But don't feel weird about it. The feeling is mutual. We have pride in our program, even if I don't always have pride in how I look when I'm running errands for the lovely Jacqueline. But not everyone has pride in the United States of America this 4th of July. I'm not speaking for myself, of course. I think I explained that adequately in the first hour of this show. There's always a good reason to be proud to be American, but we're making tremendous strides as a nation at this moment to fulfill our promise, a promise that was born of the dream of a bunch of guys in powdered wigs and leggings that got together 249 years ago in Independence Hall and grappling with sweat and flies and all of the odors of an 18th century city and under the very real threat of being hanged for treason. They dreamed a dream. That's a little Les Mis there, by the way. We're back to Les Mis again. But they dreamed a dream. They dreamed that we could have a country where people could fulfill their promise to rise as far as their industry was willing to take them. And that's what we're working on repairing and restoring at the moment under President Trump's leadership. But again, not everyone feels that way. Gallup, this past week, reported that American pride, Andrew, has slipped to a new low. But it's not among all Americans. That change is primarily driven by Democrats. And that's what's dragging down the average. Only 58% of U.S. adults, according to Gallup, are either extremely, 41%, or very, 17%, proud to be an American. That's down 9 percentage points from last year and 5 points below the prior low total in 2020. The 41% who are extremely proud, according to Gallup, is not statistically different from the prior lows of 38% in 22, 39% in 23. Bottom line is, it's dropping off, and it's being driven by Democrats. Democrats are not proud to be Americans. You're shocked, aren't you?
I had no idea that's how they felt about America. I couldn't tell them by watching the news.
I know, right? You would never get that vibe from Hakeem Jeffries or AOC or any of these other wackadoodles that we watch on TV all the time. According to Gallup, 36% of Democrats, only a little over one-third of Dems, describe themselves as extremely or very proud to be American. That's down from, and this is the key here, that's down from 62% a year ago. This is only the second time Democrats' pride has fallen below the majority level, along with a 42% reading in 2020, the last year of the Trump administration. Whereas Republicans' level of national pride, much steadier. It's typically registering above 90%, including 92% this year, up from 85% in 2024, the final year of the Biden administration. such as it is. I should probably say the Dr. Jill Biden administration for the sake of accuracy. So what did you notice about the chronology there that I gave you from Gallup? Republicans, regardless of who's in office, there's a little bit of waxing and waning, but steady. Pretty consistently, 9 in 10 Republicans are very proud to be citizens of the greatest nation in God's creation. Democrats, consistently lower than Republicans, but it's very much tied to who is in office. How sad and pathetic is that? I mean, if you're a Democrat and you're listening to this, and I know some of you do, even though you won't admit it, doesn't it give you any shame? Don't you feel any shame to be part of a movement that's love of country is tied to whether or not the current president is reflective of your worldview? That sucks. And for those of you out there, and you know who you are, that are constantly belly aching about the need for bipartisanship and civility and unity, and why aren't there more people reaching across the aisle to try to bridge the divides in American society? I mean, could it be any clearer to you who's responsible for that which ails us? Republicans pretty consistently like to be here. We like ourselves. We like our country. We like our fellow Americans, even when sometimes we think they're a little cuckoo bananas. Not true of the left. Their love is conditional. And love that is conditional, Andrew, is not true love. But that's how Democrats feel about their nation. It's how they feel about their countrymen. It's a big part of the reason why, whether it's 4th of July weekend or any other weekend of the year, we are having increasing levels of difficulty reaching across the aisle, trying to find common ground, keeping this country together. Now, Donald Trump is succeeding in spite of all this because he is candidly growing the Republican movement, right? I mean, look at a state like New Jersey, where over the course of the past 4 years, Republicans have closed their registration gap with the Democrats by about 200,000 registered voters. That is a pretty seismic change in New Jersey, and it's one of the many reasons why you should believe your gut that the Garden State is competitive this year and could flip red this year with Jack Cittarelli defeating the Democrat, Mikey Sherrill, right? But the left, they sure ain't making it easy. I'm not going to sit here and give you a lecture about how you should be proud of your country on the 4th of July. I don't think I have to tell most of the people that listen to the Matt Rooney Show that they need to. What I am telling you is you need to be clear-eyed about the problem. You can't do business with people that don't love the thing that you're trying to save, right? Like, it's a practice, an exercise in futility. It's useless. The left should not be accommodated. The left needs to be defeated. And by defeated, I don't mean with pitchforks and torches. Calm down, Karens and Kinzingers and Liz Cheneys out there, right? When I say they need to be defeated, I mean they need to be confronted, they need to be debated, and they need to be either converted or we need to steal people away from their ranks, either actively or before they can be taken in by leftism. Donald Trump is helping us in this regard, but we cannot accept a bad premise by pretending any longer that they want the same things that we do. We played the clips from Hakeem Jeffries ranting and raving on the floor of the House of Representatives this week in opposition to the big, beautiful bill. I mean, practically in tears, him and his caucus over the fact that Planned Parenthood wasn't going to have our money to kill children. If you want to kill your young, as abhorrent as I find it, at least don't use my money, please. Is that too much to ask? But these are the priorities of the people that I'm talking about, right? They don't want what you want. They don't believe what you believe. Just saying. Focus on the good things, though, as I always tell you. really good employment numbers this week, which come out of last month, of course. You may have heard about it, but if you didn't, I want to make sure you don't miss it. This is cut number 7, Fox Business, on Thursday when we got the latest unemployment report. It was big and beautiful. Listen.
Listen to this. 147,000 jobs on non-farm. That is well above the estimates of 110,000. The unemployment rate went down to 4.1%. Yeah. The expectation was it was going to tick up to 4.3%.
Tremendous. It's unbelievable. These kind of things just don't happen in a vacuum. It's happening because we have leadership that's making the right moves. And as I also mentioned in the first hour, record low border encounters and apprehensions in June 2025. Fox reported it this week, cut number 8.
For the Homeland Security Department released brand new data this week showing that in June, there were a record low number of both nationwide border encounters and illegal immigrant apprehensions at the southern border. Here's the craziest part. There were zero illegal immigrants released in the U.S. You compare that to the highs under the Biden administration when we saw as many as 12,000 encounters per day.
I'll tell you what all of this does to me, Andrew. It makes me feel awfully damn proud to be American.
Sure
we
does.
Finally have somebody fighting for us, right?
I mean, it's what we had before. 2016 to 2017, or 2016 to 2020, that's pretty much what we had.
Yeah, although so much better this time because President Trump, you know, it's been said before, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Not true of the Donald, right? I mean, he learned the lessons of his first administration, the shortcomings, because in large part, he surrounded himself with some people that weren't deserving of his trust. I don't blame him for that. You know, you don't know somebody's mettle until it's tested in fire, right? And they crapped out on him, and it limited what he was able to accomplish. Not so this time. He has, to use a Gen Z-ism, he's got all the hacks in his back pocket, right? He knows how to get it done, and he's doing it. And so, as someone that believes that government should be responsive to its people, and that's what I want for my country, I couldn't be more proud this 4th of July of my countrymen, of my president, of where we're going, and what I think we're going to be able to accomplish in the weeks and months ahead. And we've got more ahead for you on the Matt Rooney Show. Plenty to talk about, not enough time. That's always my sad dilemma. But we're going to do the best we can on the other end of this commercial break.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
My favorite thing about this weekend, it's just the endless fireworks, Andrew. Even as we're recording, I can hear them in the distance. I mean, I hope that they're fireworks. I'm close enough to the city of not-so-brotherly love that it could very well be violence.
You never
know.
So
I'm just going to assume that it's people.
We're hopeful.
Yeah, you just never.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst, as they say.
Well, hope for, I mean, that should be the official motto of the city of Philadelphia in 2000.
And the trash situation and everything, too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what Larry Krasner ran on last time. God, what a mess, folks. But I'll tell you what's not a mess, the Matt Rooney Show here on 1210 WPHT. Appreciate you joining us. It's been a full program. Let's make it a little bit more substantive with one of our favorites here at 1210 WPHT. And I'm not saying that just because, full disclosure, I work for the man. I would say it even if he wasn't here listening. He is a man of many hats, and not just the Make NJ Great Again hat that he likes to sport around. As of late, he is an attorney. He is a former New Jersey Superior Court judge. He is the chairman and leader of the Cape May County Republican Party, mighty organization that it is, one of the reddest counties, if not the reddest county in the great state of New Jersey. And he is also chairman of the newly founded America First Policy Institute New Jersey chapter, for which I serve as the director. So what does all this mean? Mike Donahue spends plenty of time with me, as it is why he wants to call into my show and spend more time with me. God only knows, but we're grateful for it. Mr. Chairman, welcome back.
Wow. I don't know if I can live up to that intro.
I doubt you can, but we're going to try.
All right.
we'll do the best we can. See, our good friend Rich Zeoli, he's not going to give you a roll up like
that. Oh, no. Zeoli abuses me when I go on there.
That's
right. But
I
abuse him too, so it's mutual.
It's a mutual admiration society. Lots of razzing. You know, I actually saw a study. I wish I had this damn thing in front of me, but you would love it. It said that men that razz each other have much healthier relationships.
I think that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, it shows. It
I think,
shows
that I think if you, if right, well, it also shows that you can either take it or you can't. And do you really want to hang out with those guys who can't take it? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's.
I believe that. I don't think they needed a study for that. I think we could have just told them that.
We could have, which is true of many things in this world of ours. We also probably didn't need to tell people what we did in this op-ed that we co-authored, which we published. We published it over my website, SaveJersey.com. You can find it, of course, over at AFPI's website. The title, I think it says it all, Only Progressive Activists Demand a King. I mean, I know why we put these thoughts to paper, Mike, but why don't you tell the audience why, particularly 4th of July weekend, was a good time for it?
Well, I mean, listen, we live in an era of incredible hypocrisy on the left, and it's part of the progression of the left into autocracy. I don't know if you saw the study, speaking of studies, that there is much more diversity of thought on the right than on the left, because it's dogmatic, and if you don't adhere to the dogma, they cancel you. And that's a drift toward fascism and autocracy. So you could tell from the left, everything they accuse the other side of is what they are. So all this No Kings rally, which is absurd because we just watched the big bill, beautiful bill be passed. I think a king would just say, this is what we're going to do. Not have to wait for the Senate and the House and the House and the Senate and then the House and the Senate and Senate and the House. And have an opposition party spokesman stand for hours on end spouting ridiculous drivel while your bill languishes. I mean, that's not the purview of a king. However, we have in this great state of New Jersey a Democrat Party that has moved us in the area of what I call monarchical autocracy, which may be repetitive, but we remember Phil Murphy during COVID, and we've all tried to forget that, but he acted like a king, and our legislature rolled over for him, and he said the Bill of Rights was above his pay grade, and he threatened people. I wonder if you recall the famous, if you knuckleheads keep this up, it's going to be a problem. I'm going to show you.
It was an endless stream of threats.
Oh, it was
daily
terrible.
Press conferences, yeah, during COVID.
Well, and we're all locked in our houses, and we can't even gather in a church parking lot inside our cars and have a mass, and our kids can't go to school. And meanwhile, Phil Murphy and his ilk are in the streets, arm in arm, shouting and yelling, in support of BLM. So that whole beginning of the sort of king thing, they loved it. COVID gave them a playbook that I hope we never see again. And I hope we all have a lot more courage, if it ever does happen again, to defy them. But, you move forward and you look at New Jersey and the way they handle things. And I mean, we have out of Trenton just these edicts like the Immigrant Trust Directive that comes out of an unelected attorney general that tells our local law enforcement and sheriffs that they can no longer cooperate with the federal government when it comes to immigration enforcement. I mean, that's fiat, right? That's autocracy. That guy wasn't elected, and nobody voted on whether they wanted to see this immigrant trust doctrine or not. So, I mean, we have a number of things that we talk about in the op-ed, and I think the timing is good as we approach Independence Day. and they're supposed to be out in the streets again tomorrow. But it's hypocrisy at the highest level, and they know it, and they have to continue to do this to deflect from the fact that they are the party that wishes to see autocracy. They are the party that wishes to see free speech done away with. I mean, I've even heard, you know, we've even heard over the last couple of years, people on the left talk about rewriting the First Amendment because speech that is offensive should really not be allowed. That's the whole point of the First Amendment. That's the whole point of drafting the First Amendment, that the founders knew that there would be offensive speech that the government would try to ban. So, you know, I was glad we did it. I'm glad it got published today. And, you know, I think it's a timely message to say, look, you all are out there with your No Kings rally. Let's talk about who really wants autocracy in this country. And it's the left, not the right. I mean, it was a joint effort. I think you and I work well together, as we always have. And to wear this America First Policy Institute hat has just been a great honor and pleasure since, you know, December. And moving it forward here in New Jersey, which we are way behind enemy lines here in the Socialist Republic of New Jersey. So, look, we're plowing new ground. We've made a lot of new friends. We have a lot of aligned friends on the ground here in New Jersey. And, you know, we'll keep building this thing, keep moving forward on America First principles, which especially on the eve of our Independence Day celebration is really critical, because those are the things that are going to move New Jersey in the direction that it should go, in the direction that the president moved it, frankly, in the election last year. And looking at, you know, those issues like safety in your neighborhood, you know, not having your kids in kindergarten having to sit through drag queen reading hour, or your fourth graders having to read basically graphic novels, you know, and have 18-year-old boys who are 6'4 and 200 pounds competing in girls' field hockey, you know, to have men and women sports, all those same things that moved the country to a landslide for Donald Trump in 24 are still issues for people in New Jersey in this election cycle. So, you know, it's very important that we drive this America First message, and people have begun to understand what it means. It's not some crazy lunatic fringe message. It's the basics. It's the basics of what it means to be a country. And people get it. People of ilks. And the Hispanic population of the state went strong for President Trump. You know, African-American men, young people, even suburban women, those educated people who they say don't vote for Trump, a lot of them did because they understood we had to take our country back. So, look, I appreciate being on your show. I always do. I'm glad we're working on this platform together, and we'll keep driving it. And it's important for 25 and 26 and beyond. And, you know, our friends at AFPI talk about the next 100 years, because this is not a flash in the pan movement. So, you know, happy July 4th Eve. As we record this, I know your listeners will hear it later, but you know, it's just, I think it's a great time to be an American. It's a great time to be an American, first American, as you know, the big, beautiful bill. None of those things are ever perfect, but there's so much in there that moves us to a place where we restructure the approach of the federal government to a lot of things that have to do with spending and taxation. And it's the beginning, right? It's not everything. It's the beginning. And I think it's overall a good beginning.
It is. And to your point, and of course, by the way, I should say, it's a mutual admiration society. I only say these kinds of things. We're not sitting directly next to each other. But we're accomplishing a lot of good, because not because we're so special. It's because we're finding what we always believed is in fact true, that the Garden State is fertile soil for these America First values. You mentioned that the president did really well last year with Hispanic New Jerseyans, Black New Jerseyans. I remember Reagan said something to the effect of Latinos are Republicans, they just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
What we're finding out is that most people are America First. They believe in the America First vision. To your point, the Democrats, especially in places like New Jersey, have just done such a good job of demonizing the opposition that there's almost this, I don't know what the right way to put it is, almost this reflexive reaction when someone says America first, because they're afraid of other people judging them. I mean, do you think I'm off base? I think that's what we're finding.
Well, listen, I think that that has waned a great deal over the last few years.
Sure.
I think there is still that, especially in New Jersey, as we've seen, even amongst some of our kind of leadership on the right when you say those words, but not like it used to be. And people understand it, and they have seen the discussions about it. They've seen it now in practice. I mean, it is impossible to ignore the wins that the president has racked up in the last few weeks when it comes to Supreme Court decisions, when it comes to legislation, when it comes to the border at historic lows in terms of crossings and encounters, when it comes to the markets breaking records, when it comes to job creation exceeding expectations, when it comes to inflation dropping. All of those things are wins, and as much as the left-wing prostituted media wants to try to tamp them down, it really becomes impossible to keep, because people now are going to start feeling that in their own lives. And that's really what sunk the left and Biden, is people felt the pain from those that administration in their own lives. And now with all these wins that President Trump is racking up, people will start to feel relief and prosperity and hope and looking for the American dream again. I mean, when you're cutting, you know, taxes on people taking home Social Security, when you are creating accounts for each newborn baby that will grow over their lifetime, when you are, you know, making childcare more affordable, when you're cutting taxes on, state and local tax, you know, you get that SALT deduction up in the places like New Jersey and other places. And, you know, all the talk about gutting Medicaid, it's like the border. Let's follow the law. If you're not qualified to receive Medicaid, you're not going to receive it. That means if you can work, go work. That means if you're here illegally, get out. And, you know, they worked
stopping
into the bill.
Fraud is not gutting something, right? We're simply just following the rules. We're protecting it for the people who deserve it because they've worked for it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's all false narrative. I mean, we had this issue of rural hospitals that end up being the only place where people can go for healthcare, and it becomes a walk-in clinic, right? Well, they're not going to suddenly leave people bleeding on the sidewalk. So they built money into the bill to try to compensate those hospitals for doing those things. At the same time, rooting out fraud that's taking place in those states and other places. So, you know, I think it'll take a little time. I think the winds are piling up, which is good for us in this cycle. I've said all along, kind of taking off my AFPI hat and putting my GOP hat on, like for us in this cycle, if the president has some significant wins between now and November, it's going to really help the Republican ticket and Jack Chitarelli as a gubernatorial candidate. And I think that's beginning to happen. And it becomes undeniable. I mean, you just look at what has gone on already. And even on these, like what I call the prostitute left-wing media, because they are, they're having to acknowledge these things. You know, they're all sitting there salivating over the jobs numbers, and then they have to report them and say, oh, the jobs numbers exceeded expectations again. And the old jobs numbers were revised upward. Like they, you know, they say
watching CNN talk about the jobs numbers this week. I mean, you would have thought someone just told them that their dogs had been put down. I mean, it's been one of the themes of this program as we celebrate 4th of July weekend. It should tell you all you need to know about a bunch of people that are most depressed when their country is not succeeding. Right. So the America First movement is on the march, folks, and it's on the march in New Jersey in large part due to the hard work of my friend and co-conspirator, Mike Donahue. Michael Donahue, folks, chairman of the Cape May County Republican Party, chairman of the American First Policy Institute chapter here in New Jersey. Remind us where we can find you on X.
I believe I'm Judge Michael D. Yeah, at Judge Michael D on X. And
Judge Michael Facebook. Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he retweeted our op-ed, so make sure you check it out and share it if you're feeling generous. Only progressive activists demand a king. We wrote that because it's true. That's Michael right. Donahue, happy 4th of July, sir.
Matt Rooney, happy 4th of July. And have
everyone else, I say something about like, oh, we hope you have back on soon or something like that. I'll text you later.
All right. Good talking to you. Minutes. All right, take it easy.
You're listening to the Matt Rooney Show, everyone. 4th of July weekend edition. Another quick break, but we'll be back to round out our program in just a moment. Don't move a muscle.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the final segment of this episode of the Matt Rooney Show. I know, it's sad when our 2 hours comes to a close. Special thanks to Grover Norquist and my buddy Michael Donahue for joining us on this episode, this big, beautiful episode of the Matt Rooney Show, as we celebrate not only our nation's birthday, but the fact that we finally have leadership once again in Washington, D.C., which is worthy of this greatest nation in God's creation. Not that everyone on Capitol Hill deserves to be part of the greatest nation in God's creation, or at least I won't be that ungenerous. I'll say they don't deserve to be leading the greatest nation in God's creation. You may have caught it earlier when I mentioned that during Hakeem Jeffries' epic snooze fest on the floor of the House of Representatives, there were some members of his caucus that were dozing behind them. One of them was Marcy Kaptur, I think that's how it's pronounced, from Ohio, a Democrat, 79 years old. Sometimes you say 79 years young to be nice, but in this case, not the case. She couldn't stay awake, and she was asleep. About an hour and a half later, she got tapped on the shoulder, and Sarah McBride took the seat of the dozing member. Now, Sarah McBride, those of you who pay attention to these things may know, is actually a dude, first trans member of Congress. She stepped in and took the limelight away from the 79-year-old, nearly an octogenarian, who had passed out on live television as Democrats were attempting to make the argument for why their vision of the country and how it should be led is better than that of the Republicans headed by Donald Trump. I mean, doesn't that visual kind of say it all to you? A 79-year-old liberal woman, low energy, unable to stay awake. That's how uncompelling Hakeem Jeffries' presentation was. So she was subbed in for by a dude pretending to be a woman. That is the Democrat coalition in 2025. That is the opposition party in Washington as our country is going to turn 250 years old next year. These are the people that the mainstream media, the balance of those who represent our so-called institutions of higher learning, most of the beautiful people in the entertainment industry, all these folks, these are they believe that the Democrat Party, what you saw on television, they're the ones that have the right to rule. They're the ones that should be in the positions of power. They're the ones that should be steering the national ship. I mean, is it any wonder why they're up the creek without a paddle at the moment? The American people clearly don't agree. There's nothing compelling about that vision. A demagogue like Hakeem Jeffries, somebody that should be retired eating cottage cheese and pudding with Joe Biden in a nursing home watching replays of The Price is Right, or someone who is an insult to everything that we were told feminism was supposed to be about. I was told that it was about exalting women and protecting their rights and making sure they had legal equality and weren't being denied opportunities on the basis of their gender. I never believed for a second it was about obliterating gender and allowing men to steal opportunities from women because they enjoy wearing a wig and they think that, certain unmentionables are preferable to what they would ordinarily have to wear if they purchased their clothing corresponding to their gender. I don't know what to tell you. And as I often opine when we discuss the contrast between the modern GOP and the modern Democrat Party, I guess I should be happy that they're so self-destructive. But as our country prepares to enter its 250th year, I really wish the opposition was a little less crazy. Because the fact remains, even though the Democrat Party is on the ropes, it's not as if they're close to extinction, right? I mean, you're listening to a New Jersey taxpayer. I'm really hopeful New Jersey's going to turn the bend this year and make a change. But Democrats have monolithic control of Trenton at the moment. And just this week, adopted a $59 billion budget, larger than the one that was proposed by Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, even though we've got 3 million less people and a whole heck of a lot less in terms of a landmass. And that budget that New Jersey Democrats adopted is full of some of the absolute craziest crap you have ever heard of, folks. Absolutely insane. And I'm not even talking about the obvious stuff, right? Wasting way too much money on big government and pork barrel programs that almost anyone who cares about mathematics would find objectionable. Here's just a little bit from what's in the budget. $1.2 million for a chief diversity officer for the state of New Jersey. $250,000 for something called the New Jersey Black Issues Convention. I have no idea what that is, but I've seen no evidence that anyone in Trenton particularly cares about Black Americans, despite how much lip service they give to it. $200,000 for immunization supplemental for the Ukrainian population. Why we are worried about vaccinating Ukrainians with our money, I could not tell you. How's this? $250,000 for Department of Corrections diversity training. Because when you're trying to keep murderers and rapists and all other assorted variety of criminal in line, we all know the most important thing is that it's a diverse, woke environment, right? We wouldn't want anybody offended in jail. $100,000 for the Pride Network. If you want to know what that is, Google it, but probably don't do it on any type of browser you have open at work because I'm not sure it's all work safe. I mean, the list goes on and on from there, folks. We could spend an entire two-hour episode talking about all the garbage that's in this. $100,000 for the Asbury Park Tennis Initiative. $600,000 for a wellness center in Newark, New Jersey. Because we all know what plagues New Jersey's most violent city is the lack of yoga opportunities for the population. $1 million for a Visiting Nurse Association LGBTQ grant. $1 million for a carbon dioxide reduction pilot program. This 4th of July, be grateful that you're American. Be grateful you live in a fantastic country. But be mindful of the contrast. Not just what you heard on the floor and saw on the floor of the House of Representatives on Thursday when Democrats were making asses out of themselves, which they do so well. Also consider the contrast in policies. Look at the big, beautiful bill. Just don't believe what they tell you about this legislation. Actually take some time to comb through the details, what it does for school choice, what it's going to accomplish for parents that are trying to find a way to afford raising a family in this country, what it's going to do for small businesses, what it's going to do for workers, especially those that rely on overtime or tips to pay their bills. Contrast that to what's happening in a state like New Jersey that's under the control of really far left Democrats. They're not just managing our money badly and taxing the bejesus out of us for it. They're also blowing it on things that, even in this age of ours, are well out of the mainstream of American thought, even New Jersey thought, which is why, as we talked about with Grover, and we also talked about with Mike Donahue, even New Jersey is beginning to inch to the right. There's a reason why Donald Trump came within a few points of flipping New Jersey in 2024, even though no one thought it would, because people are just tired of this garbage. They're tired of it. It's not that the Republican brand is so great. It's not. I think some of that's unfair. You know, I'm a fan of Speaker Johnson. I think he did a fantastic job with getting the big, beautiful bill through. I don't think he gets enough credit. I'm also partial to guys with glasses because my fellow four eyes don't always get anything other than a bum rap. So when I see a guy with glasses succeed, I have to admit to my bias, I'm inclined to cheer for them. But, you know, in all seriousness, even though some of it's misplaced, plenty of Republicans deserve the grief that they get, and their brand is not as good as that as the president. So it's not really so much the Republican Party that people are gravitating towards. They're gravitating towards President Trump and the contrast that his movement presents to the insanity coming out of places like Trenton and Harrisburg on a nearly daily basis. I should be happy. Not just because, as I've said, they're in a self-destruct mode, but I've got a website, SaveJersey.com. I've got a radio show here on 1210 WPHT. The wackier Democrats are, the more content I have. It makes for more entertaining programs. Doesn't make our country any safer or better off, though. You know, I'd like to have a day or see a day in this country where every big election doesn't present us with the possibility of our country going into a death spiral if we make the wrong decision, right? You make the wrong choice between Kennedy and Nixon, the country's going to survive, right? There wasn't that much daylight between those two guys other than like the Chicago Mafia, right? Religion. That's about it. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, they might as well be from different planets. That's how far apart we've become, 250 years, almost 250 years, from when this country was founded in the city from which 1210 WPHT broadcasts. Just one of many things to think about as you gather around the grill this weekend to barbecue or do what I'm going to do, which I'm going to make my way to the beach at some point and probably get a sunburn. I'm part Irish, I'm part Italian. I am able to tan, but my Irishness makes it such that I have to burn a couple times every summer and get a little red before I turn a nice shade of brown. I don't know why that is. It's just genetic, folks. It's like gender. You can't really escape it. So it's something that I'm just going to have to deal with this year like I do every other year. Remember, if you enjoy the Matt Rooney Show, and we hope you like listening as much as we like putting it on for you every week, you can listen on Saturday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1210 WPHT. You can listen on the radio, you can listen via the Odyssey app, or you can head over and you can subscribe to our rapidly expanding podcast everywhere where you find podcasts, Amazon, Apple. You can also go over to Spotify and click subscribe. You want to do it. Support the movement. Support the good work we're doing here at this station as our nation prepares next year to turn to 50. But for now, I want to say that I hope you all enjoy a wonderful 4th of July weekend. I mean that. Have a heck of a good time. Try not to blow your fingers off with any firecrackers. Have a fantastic time taking advantage of and availing yourself of the opportunity just to spend some quality moments with friends and family. But seriously, at the risk of being a little corny, take a minute to watch an old film like 1776, right? With Mr. Feeney from Boy Meets World playing John Adams in that classic musical. Watch Mel Gibson's The Patriot. Maybe go find one of those old History Channel episodes about the American revolution. Go to a 4th of July parade and stand for the flag when it comes marching by you. Enjoy this holiday and appreciate how blessed we are in 2025 to not only still be standing here, but also to once again, as a country, be on the march. We are respected abroad again, and we are improving our fortunes again because, candidly, we're making choices that demonstrate that we respect ourselves again. That's what election 2024 was about, and I'm sure hoping that's what 2025 is about too, right? My fingers are crossed. They're going to stay that way. They may end up stuck that way between now and November. But for now, folks, until our next episode, every Saturday night, remember, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's sure worth it. And a very, very happy Independence Day weekend to all of you.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.